Well, well done for braving the traffic and getting here this evening. It's been filling up as the evening's gone on. Well, please come with me to the reading which we had. That's Luke chapter 19 and the first 10 verses in the Church Bibles is on page 929. We're having a little bit of a break from the series because John was supposed to be speaking this evening and John's unwell. So a one-off message tonight, but God in his providence knows our hearts, and we pray that this is a word for such a time as this. So please come with me to Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. Now Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he passes through Jericho, beautiful Jericho. So get your holiday brochures out, palm trees, rose gardens, leafy streets lined with sycamore trees, winter palace. It's a wonderful climate. And it's a city that's so romantic that Mark Antony gave it as a gift to his lover, Cleopatra. But Jesus hasn't come on a holiday. He's come to find someone. We're told, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's looking for someone who is lost. So who's that? Well, we're told, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho. So Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He's looking for Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? Verse 2. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He's seriously rich. Now for all sorts of reasons, Jericho was a place where money was to be made. And if entrepreneurs knew that and capitalists knew that, the Romans certainly did. So Jericho to them meant big tax revenues. Whatever came into Jericho or whatever went out of Jericho, whatever passed through Jericho was taxed. So if you're going to levy taxes, what do you need? You need a tax collector. And if you're going to coordinate the collection of taxes, what do you need? You need a chief tax collector. And who's the chief tax collector in Jericho? It's Zacchaeus. He's the head of an entire tax district. And since there are only three such districts in the whole of Palestine, he's one of the most powerful men in the country. And he's seriously rich. But unknown to him, Jesus has come looking for him. So we have this passage. We have three things to say this evening. 3 points. 3 words, in fact. And we find all those words in verse 10. So point number one, lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. So before Jesus found him, Zacchaeus was lost. What does Jesus mean? Well, verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. I wonder if that was a story of his life. Maybe it's a story of your life. He's always on the outside. Always wanted to get near the action. But somehow Zacchaeus always gets left out. There's somebody in the way he can't see. My dad went to boarding school. He could be the life and soul of the party. He was a big laugh. Some of it was in his DNA. Some of it, I think, was his boarding school. Why? Well, my father wasn't very tall. And if you're short in a boarding school, a boys' boarding school, what happens? You get picked on. Unless you can make people laugh. Unless you're quick on your feet. Well, maybe Zacchaeus wasn't a big laugh. Maybe he wasn't quick on his feet. The sad, lonely outsider. So what he lacked in height, what he lacked in popularity, he more than made up for by being clever and working hard. Maybe you know something of that. Maybe you may not be much, Zacchaeus, but certainly when it comes to making money, well, in that area, I can outrank them all. I can be taller than the rest. Is that what Jesus means? So for lost, let's read the outsider. What does Jesus mean? Verses 6 and 7. So he made haste, came down, and received him, that's Jesus, joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Was that the story of Zacchaeus' life? The man that they loved to hate. After all, he's a tax collector. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a tax collector today, but then Zacchaeus, a Jew, collecting taxes for the Romans, the occupying power, in the eyes of his fellow countrymen, he's a collaborator, he's a traitor. More than that, he's a thief. Because tax collectors took more than they should to line their own pockets. And verse 8, Zacchaeus is no exception. He's seriously rich. No doubt partly by fleecing people. That's why all people have got for him is bitter words. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying he's gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner, the scum of the earth. He's one of the most hated men in the land. So is that what Jesus means? So for lost, let's read, despised by everyone. What does Jesus mean? Well, he's talking about something far more fundamental. Zacchaeus is not lost in the eyes of others. He's lost in the eyes of God. This is the sheep that's gone astray. This is the son who's gone to the far country. This is the man who's walked out on God. Lost. So you lost. What do I mean? A little while back, there was a newspaper headline, and it read, Jungle Girl Lived Like an Animal for 20 Years. And to quote a Cambodian woman who emerged naked from the jungle to scavenge for food, is thought to have lived like an animal for almost 20 years. Villagers in the Ratanakere province spotted the woman trying to steal food. And after her capture, a village policeman identified her as his long-lost daughter. Extraordinary, isn't it? Apparently she disappeared when she was 8. And after 20 years being lost, she turns up. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Lost for 20 years. And she was described as being half human, half animal. Can't speak. She couldn't say who she was, couldn't identify herself. She couldn't explain what had happened. She couldn't say why she hadn't sought help for the last 20 years. And when she was hungry, all she would do is pat her stomach. Lost. Well, that's a description of her, but actually, if you read the Bible, it's a very good description of you and me. When the Bible describes us as being lost, it's not 5 minutes panic because you let go of your mum's hand and you've gone down the wrong supermarket aisle. It's a lifetime in a jungle wilderness, far from God. And just like that girl, we don't know who we are, do we? If we're honest, we don't really know why we're here. You know, we get a job, we make money, we reproduce, we eat food, but why? Why are we here? And like her, we don't seek help. We could be so lost, we don't even know that we are lost. And we have a few words, food, fun, money, sex, friend, enemy. But we never really talk about the great things. What do I mean? Well, the great things like God and Christ and the cross and something called salvation and heaven. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. It's never crossed our minds, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You see, the things that really matter, God's things, they've never even entered our head. We've never even thought about them. So I have no words to speak of them. Christians tell me how wonderful Jesus is. And when they do, I have nothing to say. I don't know what they're talking about. It's not a language I recognize. I'm dumb. The man who claims to be her father, he said, when I saw her, she was naked and walking in a bending position like a monkey. And as I said, another person said she was half human, half beast. Well, again, that's a description of her, but it's a good description of me in my lostness. Because when we walk out on God, we don't walk tall. We're half man, half beast. So I am half man. I am capable of great love and great sacrifice, but I'm equally capable of bitterness, hatred, and revenge. Are you shocked when people lie to you? I can't believe it. They've lied to me. We're all shocked. But then I go and lie to others. Half man, half beast. And if I do something good, what do I want? I want everyone to admire me, everyone to say well done, I want everyone to hear about it. And you dare say a word on Mother's Day against my mum. But then if my mum asks me to do something which I don't want to do, what do I say to my mother? All sorts of terrible things come out of my mouth. Half man, half beast. And so it goes on. God made man upright. We've walked out on God. In our lostness, says the Bible, we're naked, we're unclean, we're half beast. We don't walk upright. For all have sinned. It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Be called a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what it means to be lost. Zacchaeus was lost. Are you lost? And says the Bible, when I'm lost, I'm walking a path upon which God's anger is to be found. So point number two, seek. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Zacchaeus is lost, but Jesus has come to find him. Now, at first sight, it looks like Zacchaeus is doing the seeking, doesn't it? Verse 3, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. He's obviously a very clever man, Zacchaeus, isn't he, to be in the position he is. He's a thinker. He's curious. He's had all these things about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And the curiosity has got to him. So he wants to know what all the fuss is about. Well, there's only one way to find out. It's to go and look. Go and see who this Jesus is. So off he goes to find Jesus. He knows that Jesus is coming this way, but of course he can't see him because he's too short and he can't look over people's heads. He must have been very short, mustn't he? So what does he do? Runs ahead of the crowd, shins up one of these sycamore trees, and waits for Jesus to pass. And there he is up in the sycamore tree. He's got the best seat in the house. He's unseen, and yet he's able to see everything. But who's the real seeker in this passage? Well, it's actually Jesus, isn't it? Why is he passing this way, walking this street, under this tree? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Who stops? Who speaks? Who calls? It's Jesus. And although this is their first meeting, Jesus seems to know all about him. He even knows his name. He calls him by name and invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. Well, today I must. I'm not taking no for an answer, Zacchaeus. I must stay at your house. Other things can wait, Zacchaeus. This cannot wait. Because this is why I'm here. To seek after you. Now, many, many years ago, four of us cycled from London to Scotland. And passing through the Lake District, we arrived at one town on Carnival Day. And the star attraction, this shows how long ago it was, the star attraction was Isla Sinclair. Who remembers Isla Sinclair? There's a few old fogies amongst us who remember. Who's she, someone's thinking? Well, in those days, there was a popular television program called The Generation Game, and the chap on it called Larry Grayson. What am I talking about Larry Grayson in a sermon for? Anyway, his glamorous assistant was Isla Sinclair. And the parade went through the high street, all these floats going by, and then came the float carrying Isla. She was waving at the crowds. And then, as she passed the four of us, she looked at one of us, wasn't me, with an air of recognition, and waved. And my friend was ecstatic, because Isla had picked him out in all the sea of faces, picked him out in the crowd, and waved specially at him. He said, she looked at me. But I wonder, what was it like on that day in Jericho? When the Son of God, thronged by crowds, came walking that way, and he stopped, and he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, I've been looking for you. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come on, hurry up, and come down, for today I must stay at your house. No wonder he can hardly believe it. So he made haste, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. But of course, when God is at work, people complain, verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Doesn't Jesus know who this man is? How can he be friendly with one of the most despised men in Palestine? But you see, the one who can see Zacchaeus hiding in the tree, the one who knows his name. Of course, Jesus knows exactly what Zacchaeus is like. He knows he's a sinner. He knows what reputation he's got. He knows everything about him. Of course, he knows he's a bad boy. And that's the point, isn't it? Because who's he seeking? He's seeking the lost. He's seeking those who are far from God and under his anger. Because that's the wonderful Christ that he is. And he's still seeking the lost. Are you like Zacchaeus? Curious about Jesus, really? Wonder what all the fuss is about, because sometimes you can't really see it, but that seems to have a big impact on some people. What's all the fuss about, really? And maybe you think, well, I don't want to be a follower of Jesus, but I don't mind having a look. Maybe that's where you are this evening. You think, well, I don't mind having a look. I don't mind coming along and hearing about these things. I don't want to be a Christian, really. But and there you are up your sycamore tree. And maybe this evening hasn't quite turned out as you expected. Because you've been up your sycamore tree thinking, I'll have a look and see what this is all about. But you've been seen. Jesus has seen you. And maybe even now he's stopped and looked up. And he's speaking to you. Speaking to you now through his word. And he seems to know all about you, doesn't he? And he does. Because just like Zacchaeus, he knows your name. And just like Zacchaeus, there's nothing about you that's hidden from Christ. Many years ago, there was a crime in the highland town of Dingwall. There was a lad, he entered a garden. In the garden there were some plum trees, and he stripped the plum trees of their plums. And whoever's plum trees they were, when they came out and looked at their plum trees, all the plums are gone. Who's done it? Who's the thief? Who's stolen the plums? Months went by. The lad thought he got away with it. Then came one Sunday, and there was a special service at the church. It was specifically for the children. And the preacher was a Dr. John Kennedy. And he spoke on Psalm 11 and verse 4 of the God who sees. And the verse says, his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. In other words, God is the God who watches. God is the God who sees. God is the God who scrutinizes. He looks closely. As he preached, he came to his dramatic conclusion. It must have been dramatic. He said this. He said, the boy is with us this evening who stole the plums. I shall not look in his direction, the direction of his seat, lest I betray him. But I know him. I saw him from my study window. Saw the wall leaped, the pockets filled, the breathless race home. He thought no one saw him. But I saw the whole. And then he said this. And God saw. My friend, God saw. God always sees. He sees me. He sees you. You thought no one noticed. But God saw. He saw what you really think of those people. When you trash them behind their backs. He saw you resentful when someone else got the attention which you think you deserve. He saw you when you clicked onto that image. He sees everything. He sees the secrets of my heart. And God's record of my sin is not some grainy CCTV image. He knows it all. He knows the things of which I'm ashamed. Those things I carry around me. My personal history. He knows. He sees. And like Zacchaeus, I too am a sinner. That's not harsh language. That's just being straight and true with me. It's not a harsh term to throw at me. Oh, you're a sinner. It's exactly what I am. I did everything I wasn't. Not for things I think and say and do. Like Zacchaeus, I'm a sinner. Like Zacchaeus, I too am on my way to hell. But here's someone who is wonderful, the friend of sinners. Seeking the lost. And that's why you up your sycamore tree thinking, I'll just watch what's going on. I'm a bit interested, but I don't want to get too close. That's why Christ has stopped here tonight. And is speaking to you. So don't try and hide. Come down. Meet with Jesus. For the one who seeks you is the one who has come to save. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so to our third point, save. Jesus goes home with Zacchaeus. When we come to verse 8, some time has elapsed, during which obviously Zacchaeus and Jesus have spoken together. And when we come to verse 8, the impossible has happened. Look at it. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Think, well, wait a minute, hang on. This is Zacchaeus. This is the man who really is rich, who loves money, who sold his soul for money. What is he doing giving it away? The man who set his heart on getting rich is now enriching others. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You think, well, wait, whoa, 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 slow down, Zacchaeus. Don't start owning up to things. I mean, it's okay to say, well, I won't do it again. But don't start owning up to the wrong that you've done and saying, I want to put those wrongs right. And the law only says you have to go so far. It doesn't have to say you have to go restore four times over what you've defrauded from people. This change of heart is expensive, isn't it? But look, he doesn't seem to care. He's never sounded happier, has he? Never sounded freer. Think, well, this is Zacchaeus, isn't it? What's happened to the man? It's the same face, the same skin, it's the same eyes. But there's a new man looking through them. What's happened? Well, Jesus tells us exactly what's happened. Verse 9, he says, today salvation has come to this house. What's happened to the man? The man's been saved. Having been confronted with his sin by Jesus, he now quits his sin. The love of money, his God, which is money, has been expelled from his heart by something greater and infinitely more powerful, the love of Jesus Christ. It's no longer riches that have his heart. It's Christ. He's a new man. Everything is new. Look at his first words. Verse 8 says, Lord. You see, the impossible has happened. Just commenting on the chapter before, Jesus says this. He says, chapter 18, verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He says, Jesus, you'll sooner get a spitting, obstinate, big, fat camel through the eye of a needle. Can you do that? Then get a rich man to give up his love of money. You can't do it. And that's why they say, when they heard that, they said, who then can be saved? He said to them, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. It's not Zacchaeus who's had a change of heart. It's Christ who's come and changed his heart. He's a new man. He's forgiven. He's full of joy. He's happy to part with his money. He's happy to enrich others. He's been satisfied by, well, his money never satisfied him, did he? Because you could never be rich enough if you have riches as your God. It's Christ who satisfied his soul. And he's been set free to live a new life, to live a new way, on the road to heaven. A lover of Jesus Christ. He's been saved. A lost sheep has come home. Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. He is a true child of Abraham. Not with Abraham's blood coursing through his veins. He's not just he's Jewish. He's a true Abraham. He's got Abraham's faith. And is therefore under the blessing of heaven. My friend, we close. What of you? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. As I said, we can be so lost, we don't even know we are lost. Have you thought about that? You can be unconcerned about things, not because there's nothing to be concerned about, because you don't realize that you're lost. But maybe you're curious. Curious who Jesus is. And you've come to see. And he's walked this way. And there you are in your sycamore tree, hoping he won't notice you, but he has, and he's stopped, and he stopped to talk to you. And when he thought he wouldn't see you, apparently now he knows everything about you, even the things you hide. And when he speaks of sinner, it's not to harm you, it's not to send you away. It's not because he's harsh. He says it because he wants to save you. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Well, there's no one here called Zacchaeus, is there? But he knows your name. And he's calling you to hurry down and to meet with him. There's an old African-American spiritual. It says, sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. Do you know that feeling? A motherless child a long way from home. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus says to you tonight, you're lost, aren't you? You are far from home. So take my hand I've come to take you home. Is that so impossible? When I was about 15, a bonkers woman tried to tell me about Jesus. What an idiot she was. What a fool. I laughed at her. I saw her off. And I shouted after her, "You won't get me." The effrontery to start talking to me about Jesus. But a couple of years later, Jesus called me by name. Impossible. With man, it would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Why shouldn't Jesus tonight be looking for you? Why shouldn't he tonight be seeking after you? You didn't bank on this when you came in. You didn't want this when you came in. You weren't looking for this when you came in. But he stopped because he's looking for you. Why shouldn't he be looking for you tonight? On that day, Jesus stood beneath a sycamore tree. On this day, Jesus asked you to stand beneath a very different sort of tree. Jesus passed through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Outside the walls of Jerusalem, they nailed him to a tree, to a cross, where the sins of countless people who've offended God, they were put to Jesus' account, so that when God came to punish the guilty, it was Jesus who took the blame, so that all who like Zacchaeus hurry down and come to him and trust him might be saved. Which is why tonight he stopped and he's speaking to you. And he says, come to me. Come on. Come home. Take my hand. Hurry down. Don't delay. Will you come? Oh, Lord, I am lost. Don't know who I am. Don't know where I'm going. Don't know what it's all about. I am a sinner. Lord, save me. And change me. And forgive me. My friend, why shouldn't Jesus be looking for you tonight? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.